It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson. This is an episode about how teenagers can move past anxiety and get the sleep that they need. As a health reporter, I work with a number of hospitals and clinics, particularly around behavioral health and pediatrics. At the intersection of those two areas, we have teen mental health. It's become clear that more teenagers are struggling with anxiety right now. This is something that was already happening pre-COVID and has escalated since then. And that's definitely what I have been hearing from my interviews with providers in the field. I wanted to put together a series of episodes about how we can help teens during the stressful life stage so they can conquer anxiety, get more sleep, and feel better. The teen years are a tricky time for sleep, and that's even without adding anxiety into the picture. Teenagers experience a natural biological shift causing them to stay up later and sleep later, but for many teens, this is experienced as a stressful shift, one that throws their routine into chaos, especially if they need to be up and functional during the day. It can also create some friction within families when teens are up at all hours of the night or can't get up during the day when they need to. Adding anxiety into the mix makes things even more complicated and creates a cycle because anxiety makes it more difficult to sleep, and then sleep deprivation fuels more anxiety. Teens can sometimes get stuck in a cycle that's tough for even adults to break themselves out of. So teens can use all the support that we can give them, especially right now. Here to talk about all of this is best-selling author Jodi Amon. Jodi Amon is a practicing psychotherapist and best-selling author whose new book, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You, A Teen's Guide to Ditching Toxic Stress and Hardwiring Your Brain for Happiness, is now available for pre-order. As a family therapist, author, and inspirational speaker, Jodi shows people how to thrive even in the most difficult times. As the mom of teens, she specializes in helping teenagers and their parents learn to push past fear and anxiety, find confidence, heal past traumas, and soar. Let's get Jodi on the line. Good morning, Jodi. Thank you so much for being here with me today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I am happy that we are in June, and here in Washington, we're getting ready to have a break from the rain for a few days, so it's going to be nice.
That's great. Sunshine really does a lot for the soul, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, it's been scarce around here lately. Where are you based?
I'm in Rochester, New York.
Okay. And what's it been like? I hear you guys have had a pretty rainy spring as well.
Yes, it was a really cold spring, and finally the weather broke and it's been warm, and it was 100 one day and then like in the 60s the next day. So
you're kidding.
It's very strange. We have very up and down weather here.
Yeah, well, I think everyone is looking forward to turning over the page into a new season. I know I am here. Well, I have been reading your book this week, and I'm really excited to talk to you about it. When does it actually come out?
The official release date is July 7th.
Okay, so that's coming right up.
Yeah, and I think it might, if people pre-order it, it's out now, and once it hits the retail stores, they'll start to deliver. So people may receive their copy even before that. It's very exciting. I can't wait to see it in person.
Oh, I know. That's such a big day. Yeah, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So in the book, in the foreword and in the early parts of the book, you talk about your own experiences with anxiety as a child. Can you talk a little bit about that and why the teen years are particularly hard when it comes to anxiety?
Yes. I was introduced to anxiety when I was just 5 years old. I learned about death, and I was really freaked out that anything that I had in my life that was secure could be taken at any moment, which meant nothing was secure. And that was my introduction. I just was so afraid of losing and suffering. And mostly you're afraid of the anxiety during those times, right? You're afraid that when somebody dies or when you're dying, that you would be really freaking out with anxiety. And then it just overloads to all different areas of my life, social areas and And that for 20 years, really, I suffered on and off with bouts of anxiety. And so I really know this problem intimately. And when I was a teenager, it was a really difficult time. It affected how I thought about myself. It affected me socially so much. I was, I got into really deep depression because of my anxiety. And I think that's very common for all ages, but especially for teenagers who are really just trying to find themselves in their place. I think that's why it's so difficult. It's like, this is the time for us, for people to find autonomy during the teenage years and to really understand their place in the world. And so when you're anxious and don't trust yourself, that makes that process very difficult.
Right. Absolutely. And then right now with the pandemic, we are seeing more teens experiencing anxiety and along with the fear, the uncertainty, loss of important milestones like graduation and home prom, and the social isolation is actually affecting teens and their mental health. How has this pandemic affected your work with teens around anxiety?
Well, it's interesting because sometimes the anxiety goes down because they're in less social situations where they're comparing themselves. And right. A lot of times anxiety is going up because that isolation is not good on our psyche. You know, we're social beings. And so as teenagers, you're supposed to be around your peers. And yes, these milestones are something to look forward to. So with the people that I work with, the young people, you know, not having anything to look forward to, not having a daily routine, not having a sense of purpose has been really difficult. And sometimes their difficulty, they get really upset and they think it's about something else when I really think it's about the effects of this social isolation that's happening.
Right. I think yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Such an important thing for teenagers to be connected socially. It also seems that teenagers are consuming media and interpreting it maybe in a different way than adults. And sometimes I forget that my own teenager doesn't have all of the information maybe that I have, isn't getting all of the emails from the health department or seeing different news updates, and her interpretation of what's happening and the risks out there are very different from mine. And so there is that aspect as well. Teenagers probably have more information about the virus and the pandemic than maybe their younger siblings, but they maybe don't have as much, or at least as much accurate information as adults do. And they're hearing information from their friends that may or may not be right. And that contributes to a lot of anxiety and uncertainty too. Is that something that you're seeing?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And you know, a lot of teenagers also are just not paying attention to the health risks and that because it's too overwhelming for them. So they're able to block that out. I do appreciate that they are more interested and more engaged in the race, the anti-racism that is happening now. It feels like right. That the teenagers are more engaged in those news stories, which I think is a good thing because there's a sense that we need to make a change, and that gives them a bit of a purpose. And also in coming together, like being a part of a community. But absolutely. Less so, they were less so following all the news stories about the pandemic. And so it's that's a okay shift in my eyes. But, you know, it's really up to parents to continue those conversations about how to interpret what we're reading online. Because a lot of it's so biased, you know, and so we really have to understand where's the source, what do they want you to think, you know, and how to really interpret what's going on out there. So it's a good way to learn how to read the world is by these big, massive things going on in our world and such different views out there. It's a really good lesson for all of them.
It is. I agree. Yeah, that's an important point. Thank you. So there are a lot of books out there for parents and caregivers of anxious kids. But your book is specifically for teens. Why did you decide to take that route instead of writing a book for parents?
Well, I do consult parents all the time in my practice right. as a family therapist, but I work with teens a lot, and they're one of my favorite clients to work with because there's so much potential and interest and passion. And so I really wanted to speak directly to them and let them know that, you know, I think in general, in our culture, we think about mental illness as this one thing, as like that's an illness inside you, or it's a chemical imbalance in the brain, and then you just have to manage it. Of course, this discourse is put out there by mental health professionals, unfortunately, but it is so damaging because people think that they can't get better or they're just different than other people, and that makes things worse. And so really needed to go to the source and talk to them about how to think about our emotional turmoil and giving them that hope that people absolutely recover, that our emotional turmoil or problems are, you know, come from a context of our life and we can affect that and change that. And so we could live happier. You know, a lot of times adults tell teenagers like, why aren't you happy? This should be the best time of your life.
Oh gosh.
I hate that. Right. I mean, I don't use the word hate that often, but it's so discouraging for them. You're struggling so much as a teenager, figuring all this stuff out. It's a very painful time for most people. And it does get better. It can get better. And so we shouldn't be telling them that it gets worse from here. That's a horrible thought. It can only get better. If you're struggling, it can only get better.
Right. Yeah. And for something to like that to be available as a resource to them right now, when maybe they do have a little bit of extra time to sit down and really read or work through something like that, because teens are also so overscheduled, as I'm sure you know. And right now having that as a resource at a time when they actually maybe do have a little bit of extra time to sit down and go through it is, I think, just very good timing, I think, for
yes, for that. I would like it going forward. I mean, I hope we get back to life here, but going forward, I think it should be part of a curriculum in schools. You know, I really feel like telling the teens themselves that they have so much more potential, because there's so much out there telling them that they're lazy and entitled and da 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 da. And we need to tell them that they are empowered and they can, and they have all of this ability to do the things that they want to do. We need to tell them directly. So I'd love this to get into health class curriculum. I think it's so necessary. Absolutely. It would really change our world if we taught kids how to have self-compassion, if we taught kids how to stop judging themselves, then they would really rise out of fear. They begin to trust themselves and feel connected. And
and
stop getting power over other people, right? And stop trying to take power over themselves. I just see so much potential in this group. And so I'm really excited to deliver this book to them. Let me say the title of it, because I think it's so fun. I don't think we said it yet, but Anxiety, I'm So Done With You. That's the title of the book.
Yeah,
so it's a teen's guide to ditching toxic stress and hardwiring your brain for happiness, because happiness is possible. You know, there's not just happy people and then there's sad people. Like, happy people actually generate their own happiness, so everybody can do that. I think that's the biggest misconception, is if you're depressed or you're anxious, you think that you're different than everybody. And this book tells you, you know, I know it feels that way and you're struggling, and it validates that, but it also really tells you how to not feel so different, how to get that power for your own life.
Right. Yes, absolutely. That's such a good point. And to your point about including it in school curriculum, it would just do so much to destigmatize and normalize some of these experiences where teens feel isolated, when really what they're going through is so common. And that does take me into my kind of next point. You know, the teen years can be such a difficult time for sleep because of the biological shift that happens, where teens are just by their biology pushes them to stay up late and sleep later. And so kids who maybe went to bed at 9 p.m. their whole life without a problem suddenly cannot fall asleep. And for kids who are already prone to anxiety, that can trigger a whole lot. And then they kind of get into this vicious cycle where sleep becomes a struggle, that fuels more anxiety. They're tired during the day because they do have to get up. And it's something that they could just learn about in biology. They could learn about their bodies and learn about the shift that happens, and that it is a normal thing And that it will pass. But they don't. Most teenagers don't know that about themselves. So when this happens and it's early in the teen years, they kind of freak out because it's a change. I wish that more teens were learning about things like that.
Exactly. Well. There's a lot of stuff that happens in biology, but we judge it so much, you know, that we put all this meaning around it that really damages our view of ourselves, and it affects like everything going forward. So if we thought something's wrong with us because we're tired all the time, this is very common. Teens are like, I'm so tired. Why am I so tired? And you think something's wrong. And then you feel like you don't want to do stuff. And this is a biological resistance that our brain does to conserve calories. It's part of that. Our brain developed over 2 million years in hunter-gatherer times to really protect it from starvation. And so it really puts resistance up to a lot of tasks that it doesn't seem necessary for survival. And so that's why we feel, and all ages feel this, but teens feel that resistance. And we think, oh, teens are so unmotivated. Listen, they're highly motivated to resist. So you have the sleep thing, which they don't understand. And they think something's wrong with me. So I'm so tired. I can't sleep. I have insomnia. But really, teens do actually sleep, except for during school when they have to get up early. If they were allowed to sleep as they wanted to, they actually do get enough sleep, but they're sleeping in so late. And what they're doing to adjust their sleep is they're trying to go to bed earlier and then lying right in bed for an hour. And if your mind is idle, you know, it really could give a lot of space to the anxiety. And so really, if people want to adjust their sleep, if they want to go to bed earlier, they can't just go to bed earlier. They have to start to wake up earlier and have that sleep deprivation so that they can, and it would take days before they start going to bed earlier. But that's the biggest mistake that I see teens make, is if they want to get more sleep, they try to go to bed earlier. And then because they can't, they sleep in to make up for it. And then it just happens again the next night. And so they really have to start waking up a lot earlier for several days before they're able to change their sleep. But it's highly frustrating because they're laying in bed so long, anxious and awake and upset that they're awake. And then that just creates a pattern.
Right. Yeah. So that was my next question. If a teen that you're working with is struggling with sleep and it's really anxiety that's affecting their sleep, how do you help them through that?
Well, I do tell them not to, if they're laying in bed for an hour every night anxious, then we delay their sleep time. So we make them get up earlier by an hour or 2 hours at least, and then for several days, and then they go to bed that later time. So if they're typically staying in bed for an hour, hour and a half before they can fall asleep in anxious thoughts, we need to get rid of that time because that's going to affect their whole day the next day and maybe their whole week. It perpetuates anxiety. And sometimes if we help kids with their sleep, so if they're waking up a few hours earlier and going to bed those couple hours later to totally avoid the anxious times, then they get out of that pattern. Eventually they'll start to go to bed earlier and earlier and get on the correct time, but they're eliminating that hour and a half of anxiety. That hour and a half of anxiety, high anxiety, could really ruin your whole next day. And just that change has really transformed anxiety during the day because they're not in that headspace. Because if you're in your headspace of anxiety for an hour and a half, you're thinking of all the negative things and all the awful things. It just compiles how bad you feel about yourself. It's definitely going to affect the rest of your world. And so if we get rid of that time, it transforms a lot.
Right. Yes, absolutely. So when instead of lying in bed feeling anxious, just get up and do something else until you feel tired.
Right? Yeah. Don't even get in bed until you're so exhausted that you're going to fall asleep before your head hits the pillow, just for a few nights. Then you readjust, because we have to break that pattern. When you get in bed, your mind's like, oh, this is the anxious time. And it starts like your brain learns that pattern and it says, okay, this is the time we think about negative stuff. And if you break that pattern by not giving it that, by doing something else to your, like, just can't keep your eyes open anymore and go to sleep and avoid it altogether. If you did that, even just a few nights, it would change the pattern. and it tells your brain, oh, this is when we just go to sleep. And then you can make that earlier, especially if you're sleep deprived from getting up earlier, it eliminates it.
Right. Yeah. And that, that is really good advice. Thank you. And that's, it's kind of a shift from the sleep guidance that is geared more toward parents of younger kids, where the nighttime parenting should really take place in the child's sleeping space, where if something needs to happen, if they need something, their bedtime routine, it should all be centered around where you want them to sleep instead of getting up and, you know, traipsing around the house at all hours. You know, it's not conducive to sleep for a toddler or for a younger child.
Exactly.
Whereas
but even
with a teenager, you actually want to encourage them to leave their room if they are anxious and not able to sleep. And so that's a shift that I had to make in my own household with my daughter, where it was like, honey, it's okay. Like, don't just lie here. You can get up, you can go downstairs. You know, you don't have to stay here. In fact, you shouldn't if you can't sleep.
Right, exactly.
You should get up and go do something else. But I actually had to be intentional and tell her that. She didn't know that she could just, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, with younger people, if I have a family that comes into me wanting to consult me because their bedtime routine is like a 2 hour fest of
right.
upsetness and need, and what I do have them delay the start time. I do have
right,
them delay the start time and wake that child up a little bit earlier to
Makes
break
such
this
a big
pattern.
Difference, yeah.
Yeah. So stop that. Why did you, if it's consistently 2 hours and you start at 7, and this is what happens is if you want the child to bed by 9 and you know it's going to be a struggle, 2 hour struggle, you start at 7. But that, you know, and parents want to start earlier even just to make sure it's on time, but you have to think in a totally different way, because if the child's not going to, you're extending it, right? And so you want to avoid that time and just put the child to bed at 9, wake them up even earlier so they're deprived and they will go to sleep right at 9, and you eliminate those 2 hours. And then
right,
if you wanted
absolutely.
Them actually to go to bed at 8 or something, if you wanted to even move that up, you do it slowly by waking them earlier and earlier, and then that bedtime turns to 8.
Yep, exactly. And that's the one thing that parents don't want to do, I found, is wake their child up in the morning. Nobody wants to do that.
No,
but it is really the one thing.
When you're having so much trouble going to sleep and you know that if they're sleep deprived, they'll be upset all day. Who wants to do that? And so the more you let your child sleep in the morning, the worse the nighttime bet is going to be. And so that is how families get into these patterns.
Right. Yes. And I totally agree with that. And it's really, and I've said it before on this podcast, almost everyone that comes on the podcast says the same thing, to wake yourself up at the same time every day, and also to support your kids in waking up at the same time every day, whether it's helping them set their own alarms or whether you're going in to help them get up. It's really the one thing that you can do to improve your sleep. If you're just going to do one thing, just wake up and everything else will often just fall into place. But I get a lot of resistance. How about you? People do not want to do that.
And you know what? The biggest problem too is they're so worried about sleep. And when you're worried about sleep, your adrenaline is going off and then you're going to have difficulty sleeping. And so I do advise people, if you're having trouble falling asleep, don't worry about it. Really trust your body. Just say, oh, I'll sleep when I need to. Like, you survive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not worried about it, because usually that's what keeps people up. You look at the clock like, oh, I have a meeting tomorrow and tomorrow's going to be terrible. And that upsetness and that anxiety about not being able to sleep is actually what's keeping you up, because it's, you know, when you have adrenaline, your body's not going to go to sleep. It thinks it's in danger. It's going to stay alert. And so then, it's hard to, we have to kind of not worry about it. Just be like, oh, my body will sleep when it needs to, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's what keeps you up, is the worry about it.
Yeah. Worrying about sleep, the worst thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask, since it's probably parents and caregivers who are listening to this podcast and not the teens themselves, how can parents support their teens if they're struggling with anxiety?
Well, trying to understand, you know, I do have a couple books out, but I think parents could read this book too, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You, because it really helps them understand. You know, a lot of times people don't understand emotional problems like anxiety and depression. And there's a lot of different discourses out there. That's why. And also we call these things so many different names. And so I kind of cut all that out and really explain what is going on. Because, you know, anxiety tends to, you know, people separate, you know, kids are saying, you don't understand. And after hearing that so many times, parents are like, well, maybe I don't understand. Maybe it's different than what I understand. And I think we have to break that pattern, because that separates parents from being able to help kids and kids being able to feel helped. And so I think I do that in this book. I have lots of resources for parents in there as well, and connections to a page on my website with just resources for parents, because I think they do need to support, and mostly confidence that they can do it. Because mostly parents are like, I can't help because I have no idea, but they are so skilled and so able to be catalysts in helping kids get better. And so that's really what I want to tell them.
Thank you. And, you know, we do know that there's a genetic component to anxiety. And so what's your advice for parents who are struggling with their own anxiety right now and helping to support their anxious teens?
I'm not a person who thinks about that. Definitely we learn anxiety from our parents. So from what we see in the world. And so it is definitely important for the parents to have their own anxiety in check. And actually it's win-win, right? Because then the parents don't have to struggle with it anymore. But if parents are experiencing their own anxiety, a lot of times when the parents heal their anxiety, the kids heal their anxiety. Because they're learning it. And it's not to blame you and say that it's your fault your kid has anxiety. But when you heal yourself, you could almost both do it together. Both learn the skills and practice them together and support each other in that, in a way that lifts you both up and out of it. You know, anxiety is highly treatable. It's recoverable. It's curable. And so let's do it together, parents and kids. You know, it really will change the world. If we could get rid of things, like fear really holds us back from so many things. And when we have fear, we feel out of control and we try to control either ourselves or others. That's really the source of most of our problems in the world. And if we could get a handle on that, we could really live in a lot more harmony in our communities and in our nations and internationally as well, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. So what is your, I guess, best advice or the first step that a teenager could take to stay well and feel their best right now?
Read my book. Get this book, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You. It has so many practical steps. I think that's why people like me. I'm a YouTuber, so I have lots of YouTube videos. I'm on social media. I'm a blogger. And people really, and I do have a lot of online courses. I have several courses for teenagers. And people love my teaching style because I'm so practical. You know, I just don't tell you what to do. Like, I actually show you exactly how to do it. You know, how to get rid of what's bothering you, what's causing you so much suffering, and how to bring things in your life that that bring you joy, and then how to practice that each and every day, how to feel a sense of belonging instead of feeling alone and isolated. It's so, so important. So I think that's my best advice. Knowing that you can feel better is the number one thing that I need to share with teenagers right now.
Thank you. That's so important. I appreciate that. Where can people learn more about you, find your work, find your YouTube channel and all of that good stuff?
Yeah. So I'm all around the internet, Jodi Aman. So JodiAman. I have a TEDx Wilmington talk about calming anxious kids. So check that out. So if you just go to YouTube and put my name in, you'll get hundreds of videos that I've put out there. My website's jodiaman.com. It's JodiAman.com. So you can find, I can work with people privately as well. So you find all the resources right there.
Right. Thank you. And once again, the book is Anxiety, I'm So Done With You. And it is coming out here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, but it's out for pre-order. So don't hesitate. Just go grab it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much too to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope this was helpful to you or could be helpful to someone that you love. As we mentioned during the episode, Jodi's book, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You, is available for pre-order as of right now. It is going to be dropping in a couple of weeks on July 7th, but you can pre-order it now. I pre-ordered mine. And as we mentioned, it is a workbook that is for teens. So you can order it, get it in your hands, give it directly to your teen, your niece, your nephew, someone in your life who you think can use it, and they will be able to work through it at their own pace. It's written in a way that will appeal to them, and I just think that they'll really like it, and I can't wait to get mine. You can also learn more about Jodi at her website. She has other books available, a TED Talk, a lot of resources for you, for the teenager in your life, and just lots and lots of great stuff. If this was helpful for you, please consider rating and reviewing the podcast and consider sharing it with someone that might find it helpful. You can follow the podcast on social media at Sleep Well, Stay Well on Facebook and Instagram, and SWSW Podcast on Twitter. You can reach me at Malia@sleepwellstaywell.com. Next week, we'll stay on this theme and talk to a brain health expert about how teens can stay mentally and physically well right now. The person is known to be a great resource on the topic, so I cannot wait. Until then, please sleep well and stay well. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.